Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Joining me now is University of Towson, or is it Towson, English professor Andrew Reiner. Let's try an experiment with him, an activity that you can take part in if you want to. Professor Reiner teaches the class Mr. Rogers 101, Why Community and Civility Matter in the 21st Century. In the class, he makes the case that the digital age and other pressures have made rare what were once common social norms of meaningful face-to-face interaction and community building, which breed tolerance and the rewards of individual sacrifice. So here we are with a hyper-polarized country, even hyper-polarization in families. We've heard so many stories of it being difficult even to get together on Thanksgiving and other holidays. So Professor Reiner is going to describe some of the exercises that his students are partaking in, and we'll see if any one of you want to try one out. Professor Reiner, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Towson or Towson?
Towson.
Thank you. You gave your civility class two assignments. One, consciously commit civil acts over 5 days, or two, have dinner with a stranger. You want to talk about each of these? What do you mean by consciously commit civil acts over 5 days?
Yeah, so, excuse me, I'm sorry. It's not the same thing as random acts of kindness. I mean, random acts of kindness often can be and are very civil, and that's great. But what I was asking students to do in the first one, which is to sit down before you do anything and to think about ways that you know, kind of do it like an inventory and think about ways that you know that you can sometimes, you know, that you have a, you know, there's certain patterns of incivility in terms of yourself. So impatience in this day and age, obviously, is a huge one. Often kind of looking at people, strangers that we don't know, and quickly making judgments about whether or not we like them or not. So these kinds of deeper ways of thinking about how we interact out in public. And I was asking students to first think about, you know, what are the ways that hold you back from being a little bit more civil? And so the experiment really was this notion of, you know, first do an inventory and then think about ways that you can extend towards others. We talk a lot about that concept early on, this idea of extending yourself in many different, that can take a lot of different forms. So often students, I'm actually getting...
Give me an example. Tell me about a student or two and how they committed civil acts over 5 days in a very conscious manner, and what the result was.
Sure. So some students have done things as kind of commonplace as, you know, spending a lot of time, you know, basically like in front of the library, holding the door open for strangers as they come in and out. And that's great. That's great.
But that doesn't quite cut it.
Well, it doesn't quite cut it, and you could probably hear me kind of laughing a little bit because that really doesn't that's a wonderful place to start. But what it really doesn't really do for a lot of people is really get you to look at yourself and to say, what are some ways that you can really kind of look at your own the ways that you know deep down that you could be more civil than you are. So some students, quite a few, in fact, you know, have kind of jumped on the idea of impatience, and they have been out driving, and they have done a much better job of stopping at crosswalks when they see somebody who wants to cross but looks completely petrified because they're going to be mowed over. So they've come to a stop, and they've kind of motioned for the person to go. Students have done a much better job, as they've written in some reflections, of not cutting people off, not driving as close, and things like that in terms of driving has been a really big one. Other students have done a better job with impatience of letting people finish when they're talking, especially if it's something that they don't agree with, of just letting the person finish, being more patient, and not being just ready full bore to jump at them verbally and just kind of waiting for the person to finish, not interrupting, and just giving a few seconds of kind of dead time before they say or do anything.
You know, I love that one. Is there a political context to that specifically?
There wasn't, but I think there can and should be now. You know, at the time, you know, even though we were still pretty polarized a couple of years ago, it was much more of an interpersonal kind of thing. And now I think it's still interpersonal, but if it ever applied in terms of how to find, you know, how to really kind of work it and find a little bit more common ground, my God, now's the time. I want to say one more thing real quickly about that, Brian, is that one student did something once that I thought was absolutely brilliant. One of the things we talked about in class was how the ways that we talk about people when they're not with us, this idea of gossip, which, you know, has really kind of gotten, with social media, it's gotten a lot more pronounced. And one student who was in a sorority made it her job the entire week to not gossip when she was with friends about other people who weren't there. And not only did she not gossip, but at times she would either not contribute to it, she would walk away, or she would kind of say something along the lines of, hey, you know, this person isn't here right now. Maybe we shouldn't really be throwing them under the bus like this.
My guest is, I forgot already, Towson or Towson?
Towson
English professor Andrew Reiner, who teaches the class Mr. Rogers 101, Why Community and Civility Matter in the 20th Century. And some of the exercises, we're talking about some of the exercises that he's given his students, and we're going to see if Brian Lehrer Show listeners want to partake in one of these things. One of the other ones was have dinner with a stranger. So how do people do that? You don't just walk up to somebody on the street and say, want to have dinner, right?
That's right, yeah. So that one, you know, the really interesting thing about that one is that I've given students the opportunity to either do it by themselves, and initially that was the plan, or if they want to take along a roommate or a friend, they can do it, but they've got to sit with two or more people. It can't be two of them sitting with one person, because then that throws the dynamic off entirely. And surprisingly, I'd say probably between 80 to 90% of the students, even when I give them that option, by the end of the semester, they want to try to do it on their own. And what it requires them to do is either in a dining hall or maybe someplace off campus, like a food court in a mall, is to go up to somebody who's already, you know, seated, who might be alone, and to just figure out a way to just kind of sit down and say, hi, you know, is it okay if I join you? And, you know, to use whatever alibi that seems to be, you know, comfortable for them about, you know, why they're, you know, asking them to sit with them. And I ask them to spend at least a half an hour, as long as, you know, with that person, as long as they're willing to stay, and to have that meal and to try to find ways to have conversation.
Now, you wrote a story for the Washington Post, or an article, in 2014 in which you discussed exploring the toxic state of community with your students. How did we get to this toxic state of community in the United States?
You know, it's as you can imagine, you know, it's a complicated there's a lot of complicated reasons as to why. But the ones that I personally feel are really the most pressing right now. One of them is that we definitely have become a more, at the very least, self-centered and, at the very worst, narcissistic culture in a lot of different ways. And we have this fragility of ourselves. And one of the things that happens when you become more narcissistic, as people become more fragile with the self, is they have less tolerance and less resilience for people who are different than them. And I really do think, to kind of cut to the nugget, there's a lot of complicated reasons why that we could go on and on about. I know we don't have time, but this is a really interesting one that's been a more recent development. And so people, you know, want to be surrounded by that echo chamber, and they diminish the number of people around them that they feel comfortable really kind of offline, spending a lot of time with, and we get into that kind of, you know, tribal friends mentality. And one of the things that was mentioned that I really appreciated, you know, at the start of this was this idea of even the breakdown of the family. And a lot of people today spend a lot more time and invest more energy in their friendships than they do in their family relationships. And a lot of this has to do with this idea of when you kind of step back of this fragility of the self, where we have such a difficult time, even in our families, just accepting the fact that people are going to have very, very different opinions and very different viewpoints from our own. And we just have this very, very thin threshold for what we will allow ourselves to tolerate. And so, you know, we find friends, small tribes of friends, of people that mirror us back perfectly as much as they, you know, as much as they possibly can. And that's what we want. And of course, we find this constantly in our online lives.
I'll give you a brand new example that just crossed the AP wire. While we're speaking, I'm watching the AP wire because this Jeff Sessions story is moving so fast. And yeah, we'll get back to that explicitly with our next guest. But this just crossed the AP wire from Canton, Connecticut. Students at a suburban Connecticut high school are being criticized by their principal as crossing the line into hate speech when they taunted a predominantly black and Latino school at a basketball game with chants of Trump, Trump, Trump. Now, that's political. It's also racist. But I think it also speaks to the breakdown of civility.
Oh, it completely does. It completely does. And, excuse me, what's happened is that, what's happened in this last election cycle, and we're seeing this sadly in lots of really unnerving statistics in Jewish cemeteries, in elementary schools, all the way down to elementary school, with the treatment of Mexican American and Latino American students, and of course Muslim American students. You know, we're seeing this Pandora's box that has just been flung wide open, and it's as if, to be honest, what Donald Trump really modeled was the excuse that a lot of people have been looking for to say, I don't have to be politically correct anymore, because what that means to them is that any filter or any restraint whatsoever is now allowed to be gone. And you know, that's really not what, in the absence of politically correct speech, is really supposed to happen. It's this giant quantum leap from having less effort at politically correct speech to just saying anything goes because it feeds my purposes at any given moment, because this is really about me. And you really don't matter in this equation because you're the other.
And you get this situation where the Canton High School principal, Andrew DePippo, said about 7 or 8 students crossed the line between free speech and hate speech, maybe thinking, oh, the era of political correctness is over. I don't have to worry about this anymore. From, I guess, a mostly white school, when the mostly black and Latino classical magnet school from Hartford was there for a basketball game taking foul shots, and that group of students started chanting Trump, Trump, Trump. To wrap this up, your idea for a project for Brian Lehrer Show listeners, have a conversation with someone you disagree with, but set a few ground rules and stick to them. What ground rules do you have in mind?
Absolutely, right. So for ground rules, absolutely, positively, no interrupting, no raising of the voice, no eye rolling, no smirking. And at the end of it, instead of just waiting for that person to finish, as I said earlier, so you can just jump in and just talk about what you believe, ask questions. Why do you feel this way? You know, what led you to come to this, this theory or to this conclusion?
Listeners, we will follow up on this challenge in coming days and help you figure out some ways to do it and have you report back. So, Andrew Reiner, Towson College English professor, who teaches Mr. Rogers 101, Why Community and Civility Matter in the 21st Century. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Much more to come.